Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me, as always, is Jody Parks. Jody, are you there? What's up?
I am here. How are you?
I am good.
Good. How was your weekend?
Yeah. Doing good. Like I was telling you earlier, freezing down here in Texas. It is about 26 degrees, and we're getting a rain shower of nothing but sleet. It's pouring sleet right now, and everything's frozen over. And tomorrow is supposed to be sunshine and in the 50s. So imagine that.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel so bad for you because it's kind of cold here. So many nights, like down in the nothing. So, suck it up, Texas.
it's just the eastern part of Texas. We're the ones getting hit. Everybody else is Got cold temperatures, but none of the precipitation. So, but other than that, that's good. You know, pretty much that's a bit about it over here on my end.
Nice. So, Sunday you interviewed the gals. I forget. I suck.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the all-girl paranormal society. And they're a small group, small team. They do have one guy. He's the tech guy and the filmer. But, they're a good group, good group. We had a great conversation. Yeah, great conversation, and so they'll be on our show next month. So look forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they're out of Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wait, what?
I said that the team that I interviewed that I was talking about, they're out of Colorado Springs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, but other than that, do have an announcement. We are regaining a Friday night show right here on the URN Radio Network. Chris Taylor, who hosted Paranormal Access Radio, is returning to the network to revamp his show on Friday nights.
Nice.
So his show will be starting the 28th of this month, their first broadcast. And more than likely, I'm supposed to get it set up later tonight, more than likely the Debunker Boys will have their first radio show episode this Saturday. So, Jody, when I get these two shows cranked, we will be on the air 7 days a week.
Wow. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we have shows come and go and this, that, and other, but to fill the entire weekly schedule for the network, that's a good thing. So, I'm pumped. So when
okay.
you came in, yeah, go ahead.
I got a story I found for you that I really think you'll like.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you do have sensitive ears, you might want to plug them at this point.
Okay, so a donkey's penis was confiscated at a New Zealand airport. And the penis measured out to be 13.5 inches long. Okay. Somebody was traveling with a donkey's penis.
Okay, I got a couple questions here. Number one, why was somebody traveling with that? Number two, why did they take the time to actually measure it at an airport?
That is a great question. Well, I guess because they wanted to tell a good story.
I'm telling you, folks, Jody can find the craziest stories out there. And these are real stories, by the way. These are things that, you know, don't get published because of the content of them. But on our show, we bring to light those kind of stories because they're funny as hell.
Okay, so there's been a couple zombie attacks. I don't know if you're, oh, God, this is even better. At an old folks' home, I think in Britain, a whole bunch of 80 and 90-year-olds decided that they were going to celebrate by having an orgy. And they stole candles and, like, you know, music and, like, all this stuff. And so after playing games one night in, like, one of the rooms, I guess, that they hung out in, they, with the candles, and there were What were there? I'm pulling it up right now just so I can have an accurate story. But so they got away with about 20 minutes of it before they got busted. And somebody walked in on them all but naked and in the act. But there were like nine of them. 73-year-old to 98. Those were the ages. And they didn't release any names or anything like that. But, yeah, for the 90th birthday, they decided to have a sex party.
This was a really
fancy nursing home that, like, you know, the elite, you know, like really rich people are at. So they have a reputation to uphold, you know, and they're has an orgy.
Well, all I got to say to those old folks, you go, Grandpa and Grandma, get after it.
It's not fair for them to get busted for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so they're old and they're, like, decrepit. But you know what? They want love, too. And it's something they've been doing their whole life. And if they decide, in my opinion, that they want to have an old folk orgy, I say go for it. They shouldn't get busted for it. Okay, so here's another story. That I found because there have been a couple reports lately of some more zombie attacks. And I came across a naked man in a subway station in San Francisco. And this was on June 11th, 2013. And, you know, this video only had 67,000 hits. In my opinion, it should have millions because the dude is butt naked. And he was attacking people in the subway. And women would come up the escalator and get off, and he would be standing there. And he'd be, like, chasing them. And then other people would come and, like, get the girl away. But then he was, like, moving around like he was like a gymnast. He was, like, jumping off of stuff, like, doing flips and landing perfectly. But then he'd start, like, walking around all crazy. And there's a huge problem with this. And, you know, it is, honest to God, like, making people into zombies that are going around attacking people and trying to eat them. So that's another story that I came across that was kind of freaky.
Wow.
Yeah. And how about the DNA done on the skulls that prove that they are an unknown species and they're not related to humans?
What was this? I've missed this.
You know, the elongated, like, I forget what they're called.
Elongated skulls?
I'm trying to, the elongated skulls, but they're, like, so apparently they were doing some digging in the desert, and they came across, like, a ton of skulls, and they are all elongated, and they did a DNA test on it, and it does not match up to be human.
Wow.
Yeah, so we actually have discovered another species that has been, in fact, here on the Earth with us. So that's really exciting, and it's going to be really interesting to see what else comes of that and what else they find out from the DNA.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I'm excited about tonight's show. let's see here. Tonight's show, we have our guest tonight is Joseph. If I say it wrong, you'll have to correct me, Joe. Andred. Joe is a spiritual counselor, a.k.a. also a demonologist. He grew up in a strict Roman Catholic family. At age 5, Joe started having nightmares with images of demons that attacked him in his sleep. When he would awake, he would see a white light, and all the demons would burst into flames and scatter. His psychic abilities began to manifest through that period in his life. During his teen years, he strayed away from the church and began studying Satanism, the occult, demonology, and everything metaphysical. He later turned to the Church of Latter-day Saints. He became part of the Melchizedek priesthood. Joe has been mentored by demonologist Keith Johnson and Keith's wife Sandra Johnson, and also Keith's brother Carl Johnson. Joe has worked with several teams and individuals in the paranormal, including psychic medium Robin Challenge, the paranormal expeditions that were on Paranormal Challenge, Chris Nicolosi, and Scream Paranormal, with many other more teams and individuals around the globe. His research in the paranormal has spanned nearly 30 years and is ongoing. And I need to check our caller. It might be our guest. So I will be right back, Jody.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll tell you another story. Okay. So here is a good one. There was in Florida, let me pull this story up, a family that was actually out, I believe, like outdoors, and they were having like a picnic of some sort with their family. And a naked man came running, and he started to attack a little girl, a little five-year-old. And his big brother, who was about 18 or 19, saw what was going on and ran over to help his sister out. And in the process, he got his face chewed up. And he got his ear bitten, bite marks all over his face. And this was in Delray Beach attack. Very crazy story. It's just amazing that the news isn't talking about this. And it took a lot of cops, of course, to get custody of him. I think they shot him to death.
I am back, Jody.
Huh?
I am back. And we have our guest with us. Joe is here.
How are you doing, Jeff? How are you doing, Jody?
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. Did you hear any of my zombie stories?
I thought it was hilarious.
It's crazy, though, isn't it, that it's going on and, like, nobody's talking about it?
Yeah, I know. It's all hush-hush. Pretty much. I've skimmed through stuff on the internet about the bath salts and what have you. And I read about that donkey penis thing. That was hysterical.
Yeah.
It's frightening. And I don't know if society is to blame. I don't know. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's amazing that people are actually making this stuff and selling it. And people are like, you know, let's go get some bath salts so we can, like, get naked and eat people's faces off. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell? Like, do these people not know what they're getting? I wish there was a more understanding to what the hell is really going on. They shouldn't be putting the stories out without, you know, really putting out, like, the idea as a whole of what is really going on there, the situation.
Right, exactly. I can't put my finger on it. And what drives a person to think, his face looks tasty. I can't fathom that idea, thought process. I really don't.
I don't either. But you know, we're chasing demons, so people don't get that. You know what? Humans scare me more than things I don't see.
I say that all the time. I'm more afraid of real people than I do with anything paranormal. Even with the things I've seen when I was a kid and growing up, you know, it's just real people really scare me. You know, especially getting to talk with people and clients that say they see demons, and you have to really think clear-headedly that if they have like any psychological issues and mental illness beforehand, and evaluate clients that say that, and, you know, you're going in, you know who you're going in with. To very people, haphazardly going to people's homes and doing things, and you probably just it actually invoke something else. You know, it's the type of research it's difficult. It's very difficult. It's not like a regular, you know, legend trip where you can go to Rivoli Hills, you know, you can go in and do a little investigations here and there, and you go to a client that desperately needs help in more ways than one.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand all that.
Like the recent case that got a lot of publicity up on the internet about the family in Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Joe, did you hear about that? Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've read a lot about it. And there's a rumor that actually Zach Bagans bought the house.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. But I know he's filming a documentary about it.
He should. And you know what? If there's any, like, people, as soon as he released that he bought it, people were like, you know, what an asshole, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? If there's anybody's hands it should be in, it should be his, because he will do a good documentary on it. He will set up cameras. He will thoroughly investigate that place. And
right. He
will document it very well. Zach is very, you know, if anybody's ever worked with him, he's pretty goddamn professional. And he's top notch with what he does. And, what he decides to do with it, I know that he's not going to just, like, I have a feeling he'll make the right decisions on what to do with the future of that place. You know what I mean? After he's done researching it, he's got to.
There's some facts about it that all authorities are saying that what happened says it's true. So even the mayor in the city officials are saying it's true. So I don't know if it's just publicity stuff. They're trying to make more popular, just to get people tourism. I don't know, but it's phenomenal, and especially saying it's over 300 demons in the home. You know, and being myself, I'm a demonologist, but I'm also a skeptical. You know, I'm a skeptic also. If you're a paranormal investigator, you gotta be some kind of a skeptic.
And where did they come up with that determination that there's 300? And excuse me, what, 30?
300.
300?
Yeah.
How did they come up with that? Because I want to laugh now. I mean, that's ridiculous. I've never heard of shit like that before in my life.
And I know other demonologists that are out there my thought process is even one demon is extremely rare. You know, it's a really rare phenomenon if it does happen at all. You know, if there's no natural cause for it. Now, saying 300 demons,
How do you determine that? How do you determine that?
I really don't know. I really don't know.
I I would like some scientific proof on that right there.
To determine how many people, how many exactly, it boggles my mind.
Are there 300 demons' names? 300?
Demons' name. I don't know about names per se, but they say it's 300 demons. So I don't know.
I'm laughing about this really bad. That is just if you're going to tell a story and you're going to maybe I should just shut up.
I think it's a little bit of an embellishment. Maybe just a little bit. They proved that there was no abuse whatsoever, nothing psychological, and supposedly some authorities actually, I don't know if it's true or not, they say they did see the child levitate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no video proof of it, so I have no idea. It's just
right.
Hearsay.
You know what? I believe possible. I believe that it's possible. It's been documented.
It's possible. It's possible. But, the thing is, just there's no proof of it. It's just hearsay.
Yeah.
It's one's word of another,
Right.
If I was there myself and saw it myself, and I said, wow, yeah, that happened. Now, it's up to you to determine your opinion if you believe me or not.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? If there's something there, he'll light that place up. He'll get to the bottom of what's going on. But, not to be mean, but, the stories that these TV shows tell are so bogus. It's really heartbreaking.
I can't even watch TV shows anymore. Nothing against everybody that's out there that's on TV land that do what they think it's they make the popularity. They're trying to put ratings up. The producers are making money. I understand that.
Yeah.
It's not all about ratings, and people don't understand that, especially with good clients.
It's really disheartening when it's say you go to a location. And there's not a demon there, but then, you hear of a TV show going there, and there's a demon there all of a sudden, and you're getting messages, hey, were you at that place, remember? I'm like, yeah. So is there a demon there? And I'm like, laughing, like, no. Where the hell did you come up with that? And it was on that show, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, they should be ashamed of themselves for bullshitting the goddamn story. You know what I mean? And saying, there's a goddamn demon there. Why isn't it they can't, get those ratings with saying, you know what, there's a really bad person here at one time, and now that person has crossed over, and it is still haunting this place, and its spirit is the spirit of that man is evil. You know what I mean? But there's not a demon here, and there is a difference. There's a freaking huge difference.
Oh, yeah, there is a huge difference. And try to talk to someone about the differences, they don't get it.
Yeah.
And you try to...
somebody messaged me last night.
You blue in the face, and it still doesn't get it. You don't grasp it.
Somebody asked me last night about the difference between a ghost and a demon, and I said, seriously? There's a freaking huge difference. He's like, there is? I was like, well, yeah, a ghost or a spirit was, alive at one time, and a demon never was, dude.
No, never was.
Fallen human spirit.
Right. It never existed. It never was a physical form.
I've been to a lot of places that all these shows say, there's a goddamn demon there, and I go in, I'll call the place and be like, okay, I'm coming, is there a demon there? Because blah, blah, blah said so. And they laugh and go, there's no demon here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, it's about the scare factor when it comes to television and movies.
It's so bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, it's all about trying to, you know, talk about the evil side. And you really don't see TV shows or movies focusing on angels. You really don't.
You know, I think I'm going to start seeing that. I think that we are going to start seeing that probably next year. I've heard about a couple shows, actually. So I think that next year there is going to be one. I think some people from the paranormal field will be crossing over to it. So,
well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I do think so. It'll be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's bring a paranormal to a positive light instead of a negative light. You know?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
So, let's talk about your dreams as a kid. You said that you were like getting attacked as. As far as like in your dreams or like in your sleep, when you were sleeping or in your dreams?
Both. And when I slept and when I was dreaming. My parents, well, my grandmother and my mother witnessed me being thrown off my bed. And nothing, it's not me pulling myself out of bed, it's just my body would just roll right out of the bed, but not me controlling myself, you know?
You know, it's so weird that you came on last minute for us, and I appreciate that, because last week I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and, you know, when I met her, she was kind of, like, really excited about the fact that I did paranormal, and she kind of, like, every time I would see her, she would get so goddamn excited, and I would kind of be like, get away, you know, chick's kind of nuts, you know what I mean? But she had a reason, like, why she was, like, doing that. And it was because she really wanted to talk to me and open up to me. And through that, she has told me some crazy shit about her upbringing and her mother. And so I've been kind of working with her for about 2 years. And just last week she called me up and she's like, you know, I've been doing a lot of research on sleep paralysis, Jody, and, you know, she was telling me stories about when she was a child and getting actually yanked out of freaking bed.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, so that's weird that, you know, you're coming on and I just had this conversation with her. I'd love to privately maybe link you to her. She has a fascinating story. I mean, you know, but she's lost. She's just like, she, you know, in some ways, like, her soul is just because of who her mother was. Her mother was, like, worshipped the devil and shit like that, you know, and would put curses on her, and, like, she would wake up, and then mom would be, like, at the bottom of her bed and, like, you know, telling her stories that she doesn't remember and just weird stuff, you know. So she wonders, like, were those stories true? Was I freaking possessed? You know, what the fuck happened to me? And it's like, dude, I don't know, you know. And I told her, I'm like, maybe, have you thought about, like, hypnosis? Have you ever done hypnosis?
Have I done hypnosis? No. I know people that do.
Yeah?
I can put her away to someone. Her name is Mary Barrett. She's a good friend of mine that actually does hypnosis.
Yeah, because she actually, I talked to her about that, because she told me a story that her mom told her that is just like, it's hurting her soul. And she's like, Jody, I swear to God, I don't even remember it. But her mom, like, tells her the story that she did, and she swears, like, that she didn't do it. But, you know, her mom was a sick woman, and still is. And, you know, so...
If it's traumatic for her, it'll be blocked out from her memory.
Right.
It's very traumatic. Especially at a young age, it definitely will block it out. So
she'll
have like snapshots. She'll have snapshots of the memory, but not fully.
Right.
You know? So that's your self-defense mechanism kicks in, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, I know she's in a place where she would like answers. And it's a good thing that, like, you remember your stuff. So your mom and your grandma witnessed that?
Yes.
And what did they think? And what did they do?
being traditional and Roman Catholics and very strict, because I'm a Portuguese heritage. So if you know anything about the Portuguese heritage, they're really, really thick, you know. So they didn't know what was going on until I told them what was going on, and said, "Well, it must be a dream. You're just falling off of bed and all that." But it continued on for many years, you know. So I would wake up, not sleep, well, kind of like sleepwalking, but I would be just standing in the middle of the room, you know, my eyes closed, you know, and they'll try to guide me to my bed, and I would not move. I wouldn't budge, you know. And they try to wake me up, but they couldn't wake me up, you know. And I wouldn't fall. I would just stand in the middle of the room, you know. I woke up in the bathroom a couple of times. I woke up in the bathtub sleeping. You know, different things sporadically throughout my life, you know, but the dreams are very violent since I can remember. Yeah, it's very graphic. And I noticed your radio show is set on for explicit, so.
Yeah.
But I smelt rotting flesh before, what rotting flesh was. I've seen decapitations and guts ripping out of people's socks, out of their stomachs, and eating it, and that's what, back when I was a kid. Now, I haven't watched horror movies and like that when I was a kid. And I watched much later when I was a teen, you know?
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why I love horror movies and I'm a huge zombie fanatic. So that's one of the reasons. I don't know why, but I am. I am just infatuated with it. But that terrified me. That literally made me sweat through my pajamas, through my bed, through my sheets, through right through my mattress, countless times, you know. And
do you still have problems with sleepwalking and that kind of behavior?
Say it one more time.
Do you still have problems with sleepwalking and like those kind of behaviors?
It's
like,
not as often. It will happen like probably once a month. Oh, once every 2 months, you know. Actually, it happened to me a few weeks ago. I was standing in the middle of my.
That has to be
really
scary. That has to be like really scary.
Hey, oh yeah, my friend woke me up in the morning because my wife drives him to work, and he actually saw me in the middle of the kitchen, standing there, and he patted on my shoulder. "Joe, go to bed," and I didn't respond. Like, he's like, "You're gonna fall, Joe." He never saw me happen to me before. So he's like looking at me, and he got at my wife, and I woke up, you know, and wow, I never saw it before, you know. I was kind of like bewildered. I didn't know where I was, you know. I know I was sleeping. I was still asleep watching TV. So I was on the couch last time I remembered, you know. I'm like, wow. But I couldn't remember my dream that night. I usually remember all my dreams, you know, especially my dreams are very vivid.
I have a lot of problems with my dreams as well, and last year it was really, really bad for me, and I didn't want to sleep, and, you know, I fought staying up because I would just have these clear dreams, and But then I would, like, have other dreams, you know, like, I had a series of, like, 8 dreams about one person. Over and over and over and over and over. It was just, like, really frustrating. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, Jody, you should look up some research about dream control.
What?
You actually can't, you have to look research. It's called dream control, and you can control your dreams, especially when the nightmares and stuff like that happen, the things you don't want to dream. You can control and change them. You know, and that's, I learned that from early childhood, you know, but there is research on it.
They're not bad, though. Like, they're not bad, like in the dream, but, you know, it's just, you know,
If it's enough to make you not want to sleep.
Yeah.
Because sleep is very important, you know, and health-wise.
Yeah.
You know,
it
really needs sleep.
Where I was
just try to do some research on it. try to get some research.
I will.
On, you know, don't try any medication unless you really need to, unless you see a doctor about it, but or a psychologist, something like that. But look to go through the internet, look for some help through there. Even some home remedies, you know, a chamomile.
Yeah.
You know, you can drink chamomile tea and stuff. That's going to help you sleep. You know, nighttime sleep aid, sleep aids are actually natural. You know, organic.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting a clear head. And what you should do is before you go to bed, try to concentrate on like a mini meditation. You know, think of where you like to be on vacation or something simplistic. You know, don't make it too extravagant. Just make it, just think it nice. Think of a nice warm weather for change. You know,
yeah, right.
You'd be shocked actually how well it's going to work. You know, just think of a positive way. You know, just think of it.
I've actually gotten a little bit better, and I've gotten them under control. But you know, it's weird. Like I'll have freaking dreams about somebody, and I'll wake up and I'll call them and be like, so I had a dream about you, so here it is, you know. And then like, I don't know, months or two go by, and they're like, hey,
if it's psychic that you have.
Well, you know, I do weird things. Like, you know,
yeah.
There was one day I was sitting in my son's doctor's office, and I just like almost like a movie, something played out for me, and I saw somebody fishing with his son, and I messaged him. I said, "Hey, are you and Joey gonna be fishing soon?" And he contacted me back and says, "How the hell did you know?" And I go, "What do you mean?" And he sends me back a picture of him an hour before getting his fishing license for him and his son. Hadn't talked to this guy in a while, but I don't know, just like a movie, it just played out. And he was like, "How the hell did you do that?" I go, you know, I'm just on point today, that's all. You have those days, you have those moments where something just comes to you and you go, okay, well, you know, why shouldn't I go ahead and share that, you know?
Right. Well, definitely intuitive. Definitely in some psychic level you are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you know, getting out there and, like, being a ghost hunter, you know, it really helps you become one with yourself. And that's where I find peace with, like, you say, meditation and stuff. You know,
right.
It's the most peaceful thing to sit there and try and make contact and communicate to, you know, I think as a person you learn a lot about yourself.
Right.
You you pay attention to your surrounding and your environment and your own electromagnetic field. So it's like if you feel something come into it, you feel that change. And I think the more you practice, the more you can pick up, like, is it a woman? Is it a man? And are they angry? How do they feel? Let's work this out here. You know what I mean? When did you decide to, like, get into demonology? Like, what, like, kind of got you there?
When I started having those nightmares and all that was for a kid, and I was really into it for some reason, I couldn't get my hands on anything. You know, when I was 11 years old, you know, it was in 1981, my grandfather passed away. And the day of the funeral, I looked at my grandfather in his casket, and the very first funeral I ever went to attend to, I can see his chest rise up and down. And I'm asking people, "Do you see that?" And they say, "No." I actually saw his chest up and down, like he was breathing. And it was multiple times I actually walked up to him and to see if he was. And my parents pulled me away, and I was confused. You know, I don't know if we were actually dead or not. That day, we had a reception at home. So I'm sitting down, and there's over 30 people over the house, aunts, uncles, friends. and I heard my name being called from behind me, and I thought it was my uncle. And I asked him, did you call me? He said, no. I'm like, okay. So I sat down, and behind me is my grandparents' bedroom at the time. So I heard my name again, and it sounded like it was coming from there. So I walked to my grandparents' bedroom, and my grandfather's cane, he suffered with gout. His feet were the size of basketballs. He died of colon cancer. So his cane was laying on the side of the wall in a closet door, and the cane shook against the wall, up by the closet door about 6 feet, and fell straight down. I heard my name being called, and I felt like a cold wind going through me. And that was my first experience with the paranormal.
Yeah.
And I was 11 years old. And so I try to find out anything I can about the paranormal back then. And I'll go into libraries, I try and find, you know, information about the paranormal, and watching shows on TV like In Search Of and Leonard Nimoy and that type of little shows, and I couldn't find anything I could get my grasp on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Until much later, it was in 1984, I was 14 years old, and I found out about this couple named Ed and Lorraine Warren. And I tried to find out more information about them, and I found contact numbers and mailing address, and I never got a response back. I knew they were busy, I'm sure of it, you know. Even much later in life, I asked Lorraine, I told her about everything, about what happened, and she was amazed. And I told her, I sent you mails upon mails, but I never got a receipt anything back. And she apologized, but, you know, of course we were busy, you know.
Yeah.
But the first book I ever gotten that really felt like what I was meant to do that was Anne Lorraine Warren's The Demonologist by Gerard Biddle. You know, years later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, and I got my hands on it. I'm like, I couldn't put it down. But that was the driving force.
Yeah,
you know?
This world will suck you in, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The learning, like, I look back and, you know, people ask, like, well, when did you start? And it's like, well, God, I mean, you know, as a child, at a very young age, I mean, I was playing hide and seek, and it was like the boogeyman's going to get you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I would hear stories about my grandmother's house being haunted, and they would tell stories about, you know, everybody having experiences there. I never had an experience in that house, but they built a house like one street over and a little bit down the street. And that's where I had my first experience when I was like 9, and I saw an angel. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, and to this day, like, I swear to God, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. It was a woman, and she was flowing, and she was glowing, and she was pure, and she was there to, like, you know, she presented herself and she was touching my face.
Wow.
Like, yeah, I woke up, I opened my eyes, and she was floating above me on my bed. And my grandma had so many experiences in that house as well. There was a lot of Indians in that area. We would go out as kids and find like arrowheads and the hammers that they used, and so it was definitely Native American land at one time. And, you know, you dig that stuff up. If you dig up an area, that can stay in the house. And the people who bought my grandparents' house ended up moving out because it was haunted.
Wow.
And then, you know, it was like I didn't really, like, deal with it until I had a son. Started seeing a ghost in our house at 2.5
yeah.
years old.
I have two boys, the twins, and they were very young, and they would see spirits all the time in our house.
How old are your twins?
They're 12 now.
I have twin boys that are 8.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
So I know your world.
Oh, yeah. Twin talk and everything.
It's the weirdest thing, like, watching them, isn't it? It's
yep.
a love
oh, yeah.
like the other. It's amazing.
Oh,
yeah. Mine are, like, best friends. They kiss each other. I'm like, you guys are weird, dude. You're like, you know? And one day, one of them was choking on a Skittle, and within seconds, before he even started choking, the other one was screaming he was going to die. It was the craziest
Lord.
Thing. It was
oh
like,
my Lord.
Yeah, it's like, just calm down, it's freaking Skittle, man.
Are your twins fraternal or identical?
Identical.
Oh, mine's fraternal. But they share the same thing, though, being fraternal, though. It's
yeah.
so odd.
It's like they are each other. They're like one.
Mm-hmm.
They can just look at each other, and they know what the hell's going on.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Not so much now, but definitely when they were younger. Okay, I caught them, like... doing things that, like, just looking at each other, they knew exactly what they're going to do, and they team up and tag team. Are you serious, really? You know? It's hilarious.
Hey, man, that's smart. They're going to be doing that with chicks. The one will be like, oh, I'm too shy to talk to her. And the other will be like, ah, I got this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, and then they'll probably mess it up for them.
Yep.
And then they'll be walking in the door, dad! And you'll be like, god dang it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I have Mr. CPR Dennis on the line. He wants to ask a question. Yeah.
Nice.
How are you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing wonderful. Joseph, hey, thanks for joining us and answering questions. Jody, hi, Darlin.
Hi.
Joseph, I do have to ask, though. Your specialty is the demonic. Is that, am I getting everything right?
Correct.
Okay. If I go into and I take a team in to do an investigation, how am I supposed to know the difference as a layman, not a... Like, I mean, I'm far from a trained demonologist, but how do I know the difference between just a pissed off entity and
mm-hmm. demonic? Right. Well, the thing is, it's tricky but simplistic as well. When you have something that you feel dark. You know, there's an imminent fear when you go into someone's home. You know, it's stretched you hard. Being sensitive or not, you feel it.
Yeah,
I agree. Not being malevolent, but not being just malevolent. I'm a true demonic. You have the urge just to bolt. You just want to leave. You have a sickening stomach feeling. You want to throw up. It's really ominous, you know. I'm not talking about the scratches in your back. I'm not talking about that because that could be explained many, many ways. You know, definitely the threes are important. You know, if you have three knocks, three scratches, it's 3:33 a.m. on your alarm. But you really have to know about your surroundings. You have to know historically your grounds, the grounds the territory, the home you're going into, the people you're talking to and investigating, evaluate them, you know, find out if they did do anything of type of black magic or anything, even playing with a Ouija board, you know, anything to open up a certain type of portal. You can bring in something that ominous in someone's home, you know. More than likely, okay, it's more psychological. It's more mental. It's more something to do. Something's like medicines can actually do that. You know, if someone's having hallucinations, something medically, you know, look into it. You know, if it, you know, any type of psychological background, like schizophrenia, any kind of psychosis in the family or themselves, you know, try to evaluate them before you do any type of investigation, doing a pre-op, you know, a pre-investigation, evaluation, an interview, so to speak, you know. Now, if you have that type of client, I highly advise you, as someone as a layman, find counsel or find advice or get someone that has more experience to go with you and sit down with the client if it's that kind of a client you're getting. You know, you have to have someone that has to have some type of field experience with that type of thing. You know, I don't recommend any layman or any hobbyist or something like that to take a client saying the client's telling you that they have a supposed demon. You know, don't go in until you have someone that has that experience. You know?
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to go in, like I said earlier, you don't want to go into a home haphazardly. You know, you don't know what you're getting into. You know? It's not so a demon, it's probably the client himself or herself. You know, so you have to always be careful. Always safety first. You know, you definitely want to take care of your client, but you got to think of yourself and your group first, too. You know?
Now, they always give you the, you know, you get the Mark of the Trinity, you get the three scratches,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Is that always pretty much a given for a demonic entity that's in the home, or are there other entities that are not demonic that just go, you know, I really want them to leave me the hell alone. Let me
agree
right. with them.
Right. Well, the thing is, yes, the thing that's tricky, and like, it's tricky and it's not. We have absolute proof. We have someone in front of you that all of a sudden appear scratches on their chest. I mean, you have to look at their body and see the scratches physically going on themselves to say it's a demonic. You know, think about it. All right, I want everyone to listen and think about it. You go into a home. You're psyched. Your energy is pumped up. You have adrenaline going, okay? Now you go into someone's cellar or someone's attic. And you're pumping, you're not thinking, you know, your heart's pumping, you're really excited. You're not paying attention to a bunch of surroundings. All of a sudden, you scratch yourself against the wall. And you're not paying attention. All of a sudden, a few moments later, oh, there's a burning sensation on your back. Well, you just scratch yourself on a nail on a wall. You know, you got to think first, safety first. Think of all the environment before anything like that. It's not happening, and all of a sudden you're going to say, it's a demon. Don't. It actually makes it worse for the client and yourselves because it becomes a liability if you really think about it, you know? So you really have to think clearly, you know? That's why I say when people want to get into ghost hunting, it's a serious thing. I know it's a hobby for a lot of people, but it's, you know, it's a profession, professional about it. You really can't go haphazardly and telling people it's a ghost. You know, you can't. You know, you usually get solid proof and nothing else. Like, if you have mold in the home, and the mold is causing hallucinations, okay, the mold is dangerous to you and the family in that home. So, you're bringing that with you home. And that's just an attachment. I don't mean a spiritual attachment. You bring that mold back to your house. You know, so you got to think safety-wise, you know. Even spiritually, you know, if you're going to a home, you know, doing any type of investigation, definitely protect yourself, you know, if you're a religious person, if you're not, think of what you use, you know, a daily basis, you know, think of prayers, any type of charms, anything that I think you actually protect yourself. And you know, I usually use the St. Michael's prayer. I say Father and Hail Mary before I go into anything, you know. But something that you think you feel positive about yourself, bring some positive energy. Even think yourself surrounded by white light, protecting yourself. When anything come in, doesn't let you in inside you. Let it be out there, you know. And you tell whatever you're investigating, you cannot follow me home. You're bound here. This is where you belong. Might be in someone's home, and these people don't want it in that house. Find someone that can do a cleansing of their home. Or someone can do a crossover in your home. Don't do it yourself. You know?
So,
and that's without any doubt. There's no other explanation but paranormal. You know?
Okay. So you do investigations yourself?
Yes, I do investigations myself. By my team.
Okay. And prior to every entry into the home, do you say a prayer of protection?
Correct.
Okay. And on the way out, you...
I do it also.
On the way out, you always say a, like, comment back to the spirits that, you know, you can't follow me or whatever?
Correct. Because you have the will of your body. You know, you have your own domain. You know, I say this to clients as well in their home, because they have the will. You know, this is their home. This is their domain. They don't. Whoever is haunting them, they don't belong in that home. You know, and that's why I try to explain to a lot of clients. If I do have go to someone's home, they have to take over their domain. You know, if they succumb to them, it's going to things get worse and worse, and they leave themselves open. You know, and things can get worse. You know.
All right. Well, let me ask you
that. I say if it's a true haunting.
Can I just talk about something for a second and interrupt? Because I just discovered something that I was just talking about earlier. Like, I have huge concerns about what our government is doing and what is going on with all these zombies attacks. Okay? So if you go to Terrify Radio, a Facebook page right now, I just put a link on there about Homeland Security today buying bullets that are for killing zombies.
Oh, Lord.
Sweet.
Even the CDC has zombie masks. And I guess they're, like, made a certain way. Do you see that? What the hell? Why are they buying that?
Can I?
Yeah.
I am an avid shooter. On any given month, there is nothing for me to fire 500 rounds. 9 out of 10... That's one visit to the shooting range.
Right.
Yep.
Quote unquote, rounds made for killing zombies are
zombies
nothing more than
bullets designed for deadly long range.
Well, they're a simple jacketed hollow point with a cross cut in them. Which is
it's like a double cross cut, so it spreads out.
The ammunition that I fire for self-protection,
right,
is a hollow point round. That's a jacketed hollow point round.
Right.
Should I say the name of the round itself? Is that okay?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
what, are we
well,
get in trouble from Kansas?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if federal firearms or federal ammunition decides to sue me, then, well, you know what? Get blood from a turnip, fuckers. You can't get it because I can't even pay my electric bill, so let alone am I going to pay you, so fuck off. I fire Hydra Shock rounds. The Hydra Shocks made by Federal are designed to do two things. One, have a high muzzle velocity. and two, upon hitting a solid object, much as the chest plate of a human, it segregates itself into 8 portions. It will go in the front as a 40 caliber hole, 40 millimeters. It will go out the back as 8 small holes, if it makes it out the back. If it makes it through the breastplate and hits the spinal cord, I promise you, there's only one story leaving the scene.
Can imagine.
State of Virginia just now is having this issue with what they call the Castle documents. If somebody breaks into my home, according to the Castle documents, I have to prove that they mean harm to me or my family. Well, here's my issue. If you break into my home at 3 a.m. and I put you a gunpoint and I empty the magazine and I kill you, here's my issue. Now the state has to say that you fired upon an unarmed individual. You kicked my door in at 3 in the morning. How the hell do I know that you're unarmed? It's dark. You came into my home at 3 in the morning.
I'd move.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, the same thing. We can't even do anything.
I'm going to shoot you. Well, when I took my concealed carry course, I had a retired, actually he was a retired City of Richmond officer, became an FBI agent. He informed me of 3 sentences that you will make if you are ever involved in a shooting. First sentence, I was in fear for my life. Stop. Second sentence, I fired to stop the threat. Stop. Third sentence, I would like my attorney now. He said, anything you say beyond those 3 sentences will do one thing. Fuck you worse than a homosexual Big Bubba bitch in the jail. And I went, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. I really don't want to be fucked by Big Bubba bitch in the jail. He said, then fine. You make those 3 statements. I was in fear for my life. I fired to stop the threat, and I want my attorney now. And shut the fuck up after that. Come in my house. I promise you there are 2 things you're going to see. 1, a flashlight in your face. 2, muzzle flash. After that, you won't see what I will see, which will be the coroner's van out front, the detectives, your body going away under a plastic bag. But you will see a flashlight and muzzle flash. Come in my house at 3 in the morning. See how it works for you. I may not have the right to defend my castle, but I have the right to defend my family. If my only option to escape past you, or if my only option to escape my residence is past you, then I have to come hand-to-hand with you. I'd much rather do hand-to-hand from 15 feet away with a 15-round clip. And let's see who in the hell wins.
Right.
Well, then, here in Texas, we don't have home security alarms. We have a shotgun sitting at the front door. Because here in Texas, if somebody breaks in your house, we have the right to blast their ass.
You know what? Anybody breaks in my at my house, no matter where I'm at, if I got a gun, I'm blasting their ass. That's just that. And if I go to jail for that, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? Screw it.
If it comes to protecting my wife and my children, hell yeah, it's worth going to jail for.
Yeah, that's right. It is. And you know what?
Well,
I would talk the biggest stink. I would have my lawyer bring a camera, and I would burp some crazy shit like "Free the Queen."
What the sad thing about it, though, in Massachusetts, the lawyer would say, "Plead guilty."
Well,
I'm not even kidding. Lawyers won't help you.
Kevin, you're in Texas. You have to stand your ground law.
Yeah. Well, there was a
Virginia
thing about
doesn't
that,
have that.
I'll tell you something. I'm sure of it. I am sure by next year, all states will be mandated. You know, it's going to be mandated that you can't defend yourselves. Guaranteed. It's only a matter of time, like I posted in the chat rooms. It's only going to be a matter of time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We can have a whole discussion about conspiracy theories and NWO and whole nine yards.
Let's get started on that, baby. Okay, question.
Because I'm huge at conspiracy theories, so.
Okay.
You know,
Hang on. Because do you know about Albert Pike and the Freemasons and the house
yep.
in the Ozarks? And the house in the Ozarks? In
the
Missouri?
What? I can't hear you. About the Freemasons, what else?
Okay. So the Freemason, Albert Pike, and also the house that was built by a Freemason in Missouri, Highland, Missouri.
Yeah.
Have you heard about those?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of history about Freemasonry. Do you know who actually created Freemasonry?
I don't think I know exactly who created it. Who?
Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aleister Crowley
back
is
in
the 1600s.
Freemasonry.
And that's back in the OTO. And the OTO is in little his belief system in alchemy. And now this is the first president of the Freemasons was close friends with Aleister Crowley from Aleister Crowley. He created Freemasonry. Now, Aleister Crowley, if you don't know who that is like the godfather of black magic.
Yeah.
You know, so it stems from Aleister Crowley.
But how you're talking about, like, what's going to happen next year, like, with, you know, gun control and shit, and, you know, it's like this Albert Pike, he wrote out a plan to hold, you know, three wars. And two of the wars have gone exactly like you wanted.
Yep.
And, if people would open up, like, I feel really sorry for, like, these preppers, people who are prepping, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be the people that we run to if shit does hit the fan.
They're doomsday preppers, yeah.
And, but they've educated themselves about what is really going on, and especially in our country, like all the 800 FEMA camps that have been built, they keep you in, not let you out. They keep you in, not keep the people out.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is up with that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Excuse me.
You can go and research about FEMA camps and all that in internet and all your heart's desire. You know, you can go into or watch even Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theories that was canceled that goes into FEMA camps and all that. You know, and it's out there, and it's not we the people anymore, it's we the sheeple.
Yeah.
People aren't believing it. People think that, like, this shit is just made up. Yeah.
There's fact behind it. Every myth and every legend, every urban legend, there's a fact behind it. You know, there's something there, and it's going to be in front of us before we know it, and we will be blindsided by it. Right. Preppers will know about it, but we're still going to be blindsided by it.
Dude, I know preppers that are, like, teaching their family, their wives, their kids, everything. Like, if they if they go, they know that they taught them how to survive out in the woods and, like, how to gut and skin and survive. Like, I know some crazy motherfuckers that are like, Jody, and I'm like, all right, what do you want me to do? I live in the city, dude. You know what I mean? Can't just go move out in the jungle, you know?
Yeah, right. So true. In the middle of a city, too. It's like, you can't really do anything around here and do anything.
Yeah.
Well, people get involved and, so what do you think you're doing, you know? And you got helicopter parents and all that good stuff, and you can't do anything like that.
Well, let me ask this. Kevin, you've already expressed that you're in Texas. Jody, you're in, what, Missouri, I believe?
Yeah, I'm in St. Louis.
Okay. Do you have the right to open carry in St. Louis? Can you have a holster on your side with a weapon in it?
Yeah.
Without a permit or anything else?
No, I think we do need a permit.
Okay.
But, yeah, as of now, but they're trying to, you know, take away our guns, and shit's going to really piss people off here because there's a lot of farms. And there's a lot of, you know, hunters that come in for duck season and, you know, for deer season. And, you know, you don't fuck with, you know, whatever you want to call them, cowboys. I don't know what the fuck they are. They're hunters, goddammit. They're riding cowboys and, you know, they have farms and that's their shit, you know. There's a lot of that in Missouri, so I think that, you know, if they take away the guns, it's going to be like Texas. You know, Texas is going to be real pissed if that happens.
Yeah, well, that's one of those that won't happen. Now, Joseph, what state are you in?
Euphoria. I don't know. Massachusetts.
All right, get away from the bong, my friend. Get away from the bong. In the states of America, which one are you in?
I'm not sure. I don't do drugs.
Okay, well, you can stick to that story, brother. We'll back you 110%. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here on Terrify Radio. Joseph does not do drugs, but he's in the state of euphoria.
Not ever. Nope.
Now,
the thing is,
your driver's license is issued by what state, sir?
In Massachusetts, you need like a letter by God to get anything to carry. And I mean just pepper spray. You got the really good reason why you're carrying anything. And so it's really difficult. Very difficult.
Well, that's what I don't understand. The city of Chicago has the strictest gun laws of any city under any state in the entire U.S. Yet they lead not per capita, but per body in the death rate. Well, Richmond, Virginia, for the longest time, led per capita. You know, per the size of the city. And then they started figuring out, okay, let's not hassle the people that, like, carry blatant, because they used to hassle the piss out of us. I mean, if you carried blatant like I did, all right, I carry a Smith & Wesson M&P 40 on my hip in a holster. It's blatant. You can't miss it. It stands out like a hard-on in tight shorts. But the cops would all stop you and just give you a hard time. Well, then they realized, you know what? These people are actually doing some good because nobody fucks with them. And if they're in the right place at the right time, or wrong time as the case may be, they actually stop crime. I mean, I was in a little corner gas station. I'm getting a cup of coffee. I'm on my way home, ironically, from the shooting range. I just put probably 200 rounds down range, and all I hear is, empty the fucking register, bitch. I'm like, no, he did not. I kind of poke my head around the corner, and I see dude up there with his weapon leveled at the cashier, and I'm like, yeah, he did. No, he did not. Well, I mean, he couldn't see me, but, you know, I poked my eyeball around, and I saw him. So I leveled my weapon at him, and, well, I dropped a one knee because I know they're going to look for a standing individual. So I dropped a one knee, and I leveled my weapon at him, and I'm like, drop the weapon, get on the fucking ground, do it now. He turned and looked where he thought I should be standing there and, you know, brought his weapon around. I wasn't there. I was about half as high as he thought I should be. And he focused back on her and then looked back again and saw me down on one knee, leveled on him. Now,
yeah.
The moment that he turned his weapon at me, according to the state laws of Virginia, I could have fired. But I really wasn't in harm's way because he was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that should be the way it should be allowed in every state. Every state. Texas, Missouri,
right.
Indiana,
right.
Illinois. You
right.
should be allowed to carry a weapon on your side so everybody can see it. And the reason mm-hmm. I say blatant is every state in the union now gives the authorization for concealed carry. Well, here's the trouble. If you and I are walking on opposite sides of the street and you're licensed to carry concealed, and we are in a blatant carry state, and I have mine on my hip in a holster, and you have yours concealed, who are they going to screw with first?
Mm-hmm.
Your weapon is concealed.
Right.
They don't know you have it. My weapon is out there blatant going, look, fucker, I have a gun. Who are they going to screw with? Or are they going to come over to me and go, put them up? Let's see, that dude's got a gun. I really don't want to go screw with him. This dude doesn't look like he has a gun. Let's go screw with him.
Well, right.
And definitely a good deterrent from any type of thieves or any type of robber or something like that. You know, it's definitely a great deterrent. But the thing is that it's the reality of your state and the reality of mine is like two different worlds. You know, for instance, for the past few months, there's a no shopping mall near my house. And it's been robbed four times by the same person consecutively every week by gunpoint. And they just give them the money. And it was just, you know, it hit a Starbucks, it hit a Papa Gino's, it hit some other store. And it was like, they can't do anything. You just have to give them the money. And it's consecutively. And they haven't caught them yet. A couple of months now. It's like, you're kidding me?
If I'm Joe Bob and I'm only making $8 and something an hour, I'm just giving away my money. It's not my money. And I get to live and I get to go home.
Right. But the thing is, being held at gunpoint, being held at gunpoint, you really have only one choice, and that is giving them the money. You know?
Right.
But where is the law in that? Physically, where
right.
is the law? Where is authority? Where is, you know, the people you can count on to take care of? Nobody. You're there and you're wits end peeing yourself because this guy's got a gun in front of you. And, of course, instantly, you got to give him the money. You know, but
right.
it's like, that person, to give him the money, is now traumatized for the rest of his or her life.
Mm-hmm.
Because of one individual that can't get a job, that has to rob somebody.
I have a
question from the chat room from Katie and Don. They want to know, Joe, what is one of the places that you have investigated that you want to do again?
Well, Katie's an acquaintance of mine. Actually, I met her at USS Salem in Quincy, Massachusetts, which is a battleship, well, a cruiser. And it's really, really haunted. And I can tell you a whole history about it, but Google it. You'll be amazed at all the stories. I think Ghost Hunters has been there, a couple others, other paranormal a lot of paranormal teams. I've been there on my team. I absolutely love the place. I would love to go back. Unfortunately, USS Salem is in danger of leaving the dock for good. They might have to close the cruiser down and all nine yards of a fiasco. The MBTA is not going to help rebuild their dock to keep that ship there. So if anyone out there is listening, you know, going to USS Salem in Massachusetts, in Quincy, Massachusetts, help these people out, and hopefully you get some donations or something can help these guys out, because they're a phenomenal people. It's a phenomenal ship, a great historical landmark. It would be a shame to lose it. But that's definitely one of the places I would love to go. Definitely one we'd love to go.
There are a lot of places out there, and Jody and I have talked about this before. There's a lot of historical places and that are even haunted that are in danger of being demolished, whatnot. You know, it's just
right.
A shame.
Right.
You're losing a piece of history. And, yeah, go ahead.
I can't remember which historical place, but I got burnt down by paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
I believe down in the south. I can't remember where it was. For the life of me, I can't remember.
Did you get a slave house or something? Or a poor farm?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what? I just started a new company that it hasn't gone completely live yet, but it's called Ghost Cameras. And
okay.
We are going around and we're setting up cameras at haunted locations. And the public will be able to become a member and donate, or become a member, and part of the proceeds will go to haunted locations to help keep them going. And we actually just launched it a week and a half ago. We got cameras up at our first location, and it should go live this week. It was supposed to go live Saturday, but there are guinea pig plates of, you know, figuring out all the bugs, but,
right.
You know, we're hoping to try and really help out locations like you're talking about that are struggling to keep the doors open.
Right. I definitely want to say also, right now currently working on moving the USS Salem to a different dock. Oh, and they are an historical piece of history. I have to I'm trying to catch up on everything. Like Kate is saying, so I don't want to miss out on anything. No, they are a nonprofit, and they fund themselves so that they can do that, you know. So it's nonprofit, but any help would do. If you can do something with USS Salem and all those institutions out there, you know. That's one piece. It's not just a paranormal. It's a piece of history. You know,
yeah.
It's just more importantly,
right.
It's a piece of history.
They need to be saved. They need the attention.
Know?
They need to be saved.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Matt, I definitely want to give a shout-out to them. They did an excellent job when I went there. It was great. I did it in a paranormal event.
Two years
ago. That was incredible. It was great.
Do they have Wi-Fi on the boat?
I believe so. I don't remember.
Do you think they might be interested in letting us set up 4 cameras where, you know, they wouldn't mind them being up for observation as well as creating money for them?
Yeah, you can contact Katie. She's on the right now on the chat room. And
I would love to
talk to her. And they do have Wi-Fi, so you can definitely
Yeah, I mean, once we get our first location set up, we're gonna be adding more locations. And my partner is actually Chris Lean. He doesn't really want to be like talked about too much, but he's done a great job with the website, and he's worked really hard on the programming for it. And our sole purpose is, honest to God, to like really help these places out, because I do a lot of traveling, and you know, it's not just about going and seeing the ghosts. You're seeing something that might be 100, 150 years old, and it has a story, and it's falling apart. And it's like, I want to start cleaning. I want to start like painting. I want to throw money that I don't have at it. You know what I mean? And you fall in love with the people who are running it, because their heart and their soul and their passion is in that place. They love it.
It's just a terrible thing that the historical sites on their states, they could bring their state government can help something. You know, maybe they can't put money all into it. You know, they have their own parks and recreationalists, whatever. But that should be part of the parks and recreation. They should take care of it. Like cemeteries and graveyards, they should be involved with it. You know, but they don't. And it's sad. It's really, really sad.
That would be so cool to have ghost cameras on a ship. That would be like, I mean, you know, and the site has already done really well. We've had people viewing it from 14 different countries already, and we haven't even launched it. And, you know, that speaks right there that, you know, that the site is already doing well, and it hasn't even started.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I can do my part on my end. You know, maybe I can talk to the owners of Lizzie Borden's. Maybe I can do something there. I don't know. It's up to them.
I really want to focus on the places that really need it right now, and you know, that are having that struggle. And you know, I mean, this is a way for them to promote it and promote the ghost. And getting people involved, it's going to be a really cool site, because people are going to have a username, and say they're at home and they're watching and they see a shadow figure. They're going to be able to push a button, and if they capture that piece of evidence, they get the credit for it. So, like, their username captures this awesome piece of evidence, you know?
That's a fantastic idea. That's a very fantastic idea, Jody.
And, you know, it's going to be there for long term, so you're going to be able to document it over a period of time and really get to the bottom. I think it's going to help maybe our field a little bit, and what we could capture.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of benefits to it, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Well, I've also told Katie that in the future, we'll do a show dedicated to the USS Salem and talk about the ship. Get guys like Joe and anybody else that's investigated that place and talk about that place and their experiences there, and just kind of bring light to that place.
One incident happened to my tech. Actually, he saw a shadow person and actually got dust in his neck and got grabbed, and he had a red mark on his neck. And we have photo proof of that twice, actually. And he didn't feel right when that happened. But he's a really hardcore skeptic, and he's also an atheist. So it's
where exactly was that at when that happened?
At the USS Salem.
Wow.
Yeah, while we're doing the investigations there. So a lot of things I've heard, seen, other people's experiences. You know, it's. When you find more about the history of it, it's disheartening. You know, for example, I'm sorry if I'm butchering this, Katie, but I try to use my memory. But they did during a horrible, horrible hurricane, and I believe in the 40s or 50s. I might be wrong, I think 50s. But they actually had to bring in the bodies into the ship, into the cargo hold, where they actually have their food and froze them. I don't remember how many people exactly, but they actually brought in bodies and they stored them in the ship. There's other stories. I just can't remember now. It's been a few years. But it's an incredible story. There's a lot of, like, I know there was, I believe, an engineer that caught fire in the boiler room. I believe there was actually a woman that was pregnant that lost her life and the child's life. I might be wrong. I don't quote me on that. I'm trying to remember. So it's a long, long history.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it's a lot of sightings of shadow people, knocking, voices, the whole nine yards.
Well,
yeah.
I will say the U.S. Navy has a lot of historical vessels around the country. I actually went to Connecticut up to Groton. And I stepped aboard the USS Nautilus. Actually, before I stepped aboard the vessel itself, which is a submarine, I had, well, those that don't know, I can see ability. So I described to our tour guide, an individual that I saw on top deck, what they call the sail. I described an individual to him while we were actually doing the tour of the vessel itself. He was back looking over the logs and everything. He found a captain that had died from a what they called an ordnance abnormal discharge. They actually blew up a damn torpedo inside the submarine, and the captain died. Well, the individual that I described standing on top of the sail or the mast or whatever you want to call it was identical to the individual that died. He died in 1941, I think, 1943. But if you go to Groton, Connecticut, you'll find a lot of submarines.
Mm-hmm.
And the museums and everything else that they dedicated, because Groton has long been a submarine base, I guess.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, Norfolk, Virginia is a shit ton of above-surface vessels, what they call topsiders.
Right.
Also build the submarines there. But our Navy, our Army, it's very fascinating. If you have the chance to go to any one of virtually any base, go check it out. It's damn sure worthwhile. You'd be amazed what they have there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to the end of the show, Jody also is into ufology and UFOs. And Jody, talk about the alien abduction accounts when you talked about shadow people and that with shadow people or shadow figures in demonic cases.
Yeah, I just started hearing like a connection there of people like complaining like they would wake up and there would be like a shadow man there, and they would be abducted, like a lot of cases on UFO side. And so it's kind of why I started, like, researching ufology as well, because there is no explanation for shadow people. We don't know what they are.
Right.
And, could they be something else that can, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the hell they are, but, yeah, that's another thing that I'm, you know, why I wanted to set up ghost cams, because, you know, at certain locations, you constantly hear people say, oh, yeah, you know, caught a shadow man. And it's like, why are cameras not on him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and documenting this over a period of long term? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we get
I believe there's a castle in the UK that actually does that. I think they do it on Ustream. I think it's on 24 hours. I just can't remember what's the name of the castle, but I believe it's in the UK or Scotland.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And they do it on 24 hours. That's the only one I know that actually does that. But I don't think
they still
do that, because last time I checked was like last year. But that's the only one I know they do that.
We tomorrow we go live with Rhodes Hotel in Indiana, and then we're going to go set up cameras at Farrar, because they have a shadow man that runs around that building, and he's attacked a lot of people. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to really, you know, try and focus in on well, and at Rhodes Hotel, they apparently have a creature, man-like, that crawls down the hall, up the wall, and crawls on the ceiling.
Totally different thing. Kevin, Jody, I want you to know right now, I've got Howard Odell from All Seeing Paranormal is listening. Tara is listening. They're all starting to message me, and I want you guys to know, I love you to death, but you're shitheads. Instead of just listening in, you should be called in. 323-580-5703, and I'm kind of pissed now that you're just doing that.
Okay,
rant
okay.
Over.
that's a good thing, Jody, that you're doing, you know, with these cameras.
It actually doing two purposes, so hopefully helping out the location and documenting what we get one shot to do sometimes.
Right. Now, Joe, in your experiences, have you seen, and I'm not going to say demonic cases, because that's different from what, you know, actual cases compared to claims of that. Have you seen that there's just more and more people out there, client-wise, that say they have some kind of evil spirit in their house, demonic or otherwise, than, you know, several years ago?
Oh, yeah, that's a definite. That is a definite. Hands down, there's a lot. In the past couple of years, I think the past 5 years, has been an overloading of emails from my end. And it's from every aspect of the paranormal.
That's
all paranormal. Cryptid zoological, you know, UFOs, to demonics, to malevolence, to some plus ghosts, you know. But it's more prominent now than ever.
Yeah.
And I believe it's because of the aid of TV.
Mm-hmm.
And adding this, not normal, it's a drop of a hat, it's paranormal. You know,
mm-hmm.
So they have to reach out someone to explain them what's going on in their home, natural or otherwise. You know, but
right.
I believe more it's just hands down. It's definitely because of TV. Not just movies, because horror movies and paranormal movies have been around since the 50s, 40s, 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, it's not movies. It's definitely TV.
Yeah.
You know, so it definitely is a major impact.
Yeah, see, I had a... I had a residential that I undertook, when was this? About a month ago. And the lady called me. It was a Saturday night. And she called me, and she was all panicking and crying. and she was describing that her daughter, her 12-year-old daughter, was possessed. Well, I was like, whoa, okay. So I had to go through my whole deals with questions, because I've actually had a couple legit demonic cases where I had to call some people in to help out and get rid of the entity. But so I went through all my knowledge of that, and I started asking questions, you know, and I could hear the girl in the background screaming, and she said that they had five grown men holding her down, you know, and she said that they had a minister over there, which I had to find out what denomination and all that, because just because they're clergy doesn't mean they really know or have the knowledge or know the rights and wrongs of doing things. And,
right.
So I called one of my friends that's also in the demonology, and she's also a full-blooded Cherokee Indian shaman, and got her on the phone three-way, and we started talking to the client and going through all this, and we find out that, and she's also psychic, so she was, the client didn't know this, but I got her on the three-way so she could also read her over the phone to kind of see, you know, what really is going on. And the girl actually very, very psychic, but has a lot of abilities, and she has the ability to channel. You know, she's that open. She don't know how to close herself off. And she kept saying, she kept talking a different language. Well, you know, if you're not an experienced paranormal investigator and you start hearing these things that this client's saying, you're automatically going, it's a demon, it's a demon. Me, even right. though I've seen the worst of the worst, I'm like you, I still have to have that skeptical thought process on every case, because they're not all that. And what I found out later was, while we were talking, I didn't know that, because Native Americans are so, you know, so spiritual and so powerful, right, in their own. A Native American spirit's very powerful. The language that she was actually speaking was a native language. And she, at one point, the mother told us that the daughter, when she wasn't, you know, possessed, because she'd go in and out of it, right. she kept saying that there was people dancing around a fire. Well, that threw a flag up to me going, okay, who dances around fires? Native Americans.
Right.
Well, we did some more research, and the house actually sits on Native American land. Towards the end of the conversation, my friend was telling her some things. She goes, these could be Native Americans. You know, your daughter doesn't know how to close up her abilities. She don't know how to control them. Was giving her some things to do as offerings to the Native Americans to kind of settle them down. And right when we were talking about the Native Americans and doing all that, the daughter in the background started throwing up. And the client's like, well, I got to get off the phone. My daughter's throwing up pretty bad. And so she got off the phone, and I told my friend, I said, I've been willing to bet that it's Native American, and they just released that girl. That's why she's throwing up. Her body's reacting to it.
Wow.
And after she threw up, she never had any more problems, because they did the offerings and the things that we suggested them to do, and
right.
the case is closed. The girl's good.
Fantastic.
She's been getting good. Yeah. But, you know, an inexperienced person in the field, when they get a phone call like that, you know, you're just like, uh-oh, you know, this is the worst of the worst.
Right.
So the moral of my story, just like you, you still have to go through the process, because you don't really know, just because it has the stamp feel of a demonic, that it's actually a demonic case.
Correct.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that was a neat.
Every client, you should do like a background check with everything.
Yeah.
Territorial and the property, especially when you have a house that's on Indian battleground. Oh my lord! You know, I actually had a case that's very similar. You know, so I definitely can feel what you had to go through.
Yeah.
You know, and it's disheartening. But you know, you gotta do the help. to help as much as you possibly can, humanly possible. You know, even mm-hmm. go out of your way, you know, and get people that can help you experience-wise. So,
yeah.
You know, if anyone's listening, you know, if anyone out there that have anything that want to, you know, to counsel, any advice, like that, feel free to, jump on my Facebook, and want to throw that. I'm actually losing power on my laptop because I have it unplugged. So I won't be able to anything on my computer. But if you want to throw my Facebook, send me a message. I'm very easy to contact. I'm very down to earth. So, I will listen to everything you have to say, I'll counsel as best as I can. So any investigator out there or any team, anything you need help, this is not about ego. This is not about anything about TV, radio, whatsoever. I'm not about this. I'm not about that. There's a lot of people that know me face-to-face like Katie. That's USS Salem. I am not about that. I'm about to help people, And sure, I do radio shows, but I'm not getting money for it. I've gotten, people ask me to do TV shows, and I refuse them because I don't want to be part of that. There's enough paradrama as it is. I don't want to be part of that. I want nothing to do with that. And I stand my ground on it. If people don't believe me, fine. I really don't care. That's
right.
People that know me. If someone knows me, they know I am 100%, 100% not against all that. So, I want to plug one thing that's coming up. I'm doing a lecture on demonology, and it's going to be in the Parrot Conference, and it's in Weathersfield, Connecticut. And that's in May 18th at 12 p.m. It's on a Sunday. And it's going to be at the Zen Bar in Plainville, Connecticut. If we get more information, it's $35 advance tickets. And seating is limited. So if you want to contact Judy Garamante, and her phone number is 860-371-7134. Again, it's 860-371-7134 to get your advance tickets. Okay, at the door it'll be $50. So it's going to be a bar. There's going to be karaoke, and along with me, there'll be other great people in the field, like Naomi Gorman from Stirs Paranormal, Karen Rontowski. She's a paranormal comedian, and she's been on David Letterman and stuff like that. So she's incredible. My good friend Chris Nicoletti, who was with me at USS Salem with Screen Paranormal, is going to do a lecture on Paranormal 101. Matt Turney and Padre Joseph, who is actually going to talk about possessions and violent hauntings. Latrina Brown, actually, she'll talk about Native American culture and the paranormal investigation. And actually, a good friend of mine, Carl Johnson from Beyond the Veil Paranormal, will be there also lecturing. And he'll be talking about his adventures with Big Rhodey, which was featured in Finding Bigfoot. He'll also be talking about his experiences with his brother Keith. I believe there will be a meet and greet with some special guests. And I know special guests, but I can't confirm or deny they're going to be there. So it's going to be a really big show. Now, I know it's going to be a great event. And it's definitely worthwhile. It's going to be good for, it's going to be, there's also an investigation prior to the event on that Saturday night for speakers. And everyone wants to do an investigation with us, it's $10 per person. But it's going to be a phenomenal event. And it'll be great lectures. And I'll be talking about demonology and my experiences. But it's going to be for a great cause. My battery is dying. I can't look at my screen anymore. It went black.
I know where the person is phenomenal. Everybody else wants 35 to 50. So that's awesome.
Definitely with Katie, I really like to go back to USS Salem. Just with me and my team, I like to go in there just us. Because last time we had an event, we have a lot of people in that ship, and contamination just happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to get EVP and all that, and you really can't get solid stuff, you know.
Yeah,
so
you can't really.
Everything.
At events,
you know,
it's kind of like, you know. More for the fun with the people who really don't otherwise get to do it. It's about them.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, do me a favor. Do you see another 804 number on the board?
Yeah.
218. Right. Well,
yes.
That's Howard. He has something pertinent to the conversation. So if you would, can you bring him in? And, Joseph, I definitely want to talk to you later about what you have to say. You and I are going to talk either online or offline, but I've got some awesome points that you've made that I want to talk about.
Oh, fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Howard, you there?
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, Howard.
How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Good,
man.
Good.
Get to your point.
All right, we're going to get right to it. You were talking about alien abductions, demons, the periods of time. One of my theories is black mass. A lot of skepticism has become that a lot of points of abductions, they see a black mass. A lot of us in the field have seen a black mass. I'm going to throw a theory at you and just see what you think. Has everybody seen The Final Countdown?
The what?
The Final Countdown, the movie?
Yes.
Has to do with the aircraft carrier that goes back in time?
Correct.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a Philadelphia experiment.
Right, exactly. Well,
right.
Yep, same premise. Exactly. We're taking the experiment out of it. Looking at the time continuum, looking about splicing into the time continuum, what if, and play on me on this, what if the factor is that black mass is actually a cut or dissolving of time in the period, and these people are not being abducted, they're actually being lost in time. Just think about it.
You know, the
yep.
God, time. Yeah. Time is a very interesting subject, isn't it?
I know it's at the end of the show, but I thought I'd throw it at y'all real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic. I've heard stories
yeah.
about black mass and seeing shadow people at the same time. I believe they're interdimensional people. So if they are anything alien, it could be just a portal they can transfer through. If they were aliens. So if,
right.
they can if they can use portals like that, like a black mass, like opening a rip of time and walking through, being trans-dimensional beings, you know, it's probable.
What are they
Absolutely.
Doing hanging out at these haunted locations? You know?
Well, maybe
what
these locations.
What's their purpose?
I think it could be because, well, you have to think about it. We are all energy, right?
Yeah,
but,
right.
Down to brass tacks, we're all energy.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know? We don't know what we become after we pass on. Do we? No, we have the theoretical idea that being a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Now, I'm going to be a bad person, I'm going to hell. Okay, so you have people that have come back from heaven and back from hell. We've had studies. There are people that state that's what they see, a white light or a dark light or whichever, and go pass through. Now, how do we know that's not the energy transference? You know, how
True.
Do we, I know, no, there is a research, you know, when we, our brain is the last thing to shut down. And the last thing of memory is a white light because your brain is pretty much turning off like an old black and white TV.
Right, and
you
your
know?
Optical and eyes are flashing.
Right, exactly. So it's like
right.
it's almost like REM sleep. You know, you're going
right,
to
exactly.
stay on to sleep. It's the same process. But the thing is that we don't know what happens. We have an idea. Now, they have the research. It's out there. Now, actually, I think there's researchers from MIT And I believe there's some researchers out in, I believe in Canada, I can't remember. But, you know, their research says actually you see the pinnacle of people's transference from dying and to passing on. And the light's still on, the brain is still functioning, you know, for a few more moments. Now, is that the transference of energy? Is that a transference of soul? You know,
that's a good point, because Margaret Mead during the 1970s
Right, and so we transfer energy out in the universe. Where are we going? Are we going to the dark tunnel? Are we going to a light? What is it? We don't know until it happens to us when we see it ourselves, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think they have the near-death experience pretty much pinned down, that the bright light that everybody sees are the synaptics and the energies in the brain cells as they shut down. The question is, what do we get DDTs from? Because, trust me, it's not a synaptic in the brain. It's not the energy shutting down in the brain. What do we get the EVPs from? What do we get, you know, the shadow movement from? That's something more.
Could that have anything to do with time as well?
Exactly.
We can go into matrixing and all of that, auditory. You can go on into that also, you know. Mm-hmm. Depending what method you use. You're going to use a black box. You're going to use a ghost box. You can pick up radar with it. I'm on the fence with ghost boxes. I have no credibility on it. You know, I don't like ghost boxes. I've used it. I'm not impressed by it. You know? But you pick up so many stuff on a CB and all that. I can't decipher it. You know? But if you give me a legit EVPs out of nowhere into a recorder, or is it auditory that I can hear it myself? You know, like, then that's something. That's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's tangible evidence. I've got an EVP from a graveyard that someone spoke in Portuguese. Now, my group, the only person that speaks Portuguese is myself. And we got a female speaking Portuguese that says, "Não familia," which means not family in Portuguese. It's clearly a class A EVP. You know, so it's like, okay, that's tangible. I'm like, the birth experience is awesome, but the evidence is that's what we need. Especially
in
this field.
What do you think of the ghost box, out of curiosity?
What's that?
What do you think of the ghost box?
Oh, like I said, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Only good thing about a ghost box, it's a static. If I go to a ghost box and put static on, it actually works with a recorder. So if you put a recorder next to a ghost box, put a ghost box on like static. There's one station, all static. You can actually pick up some more stuff through it. You know, they actually talk more tangible. You actually hear it a lot clearer, I think, through a static. Even with that. Yeah, even with TV, you know, like if you find a TV that actually shows, you know, some snow, you know, like white noise in the background, or a radio station or whatever, you know, they actually pick up stuff like that way, you know? So I think white noise is perfect. But the ghost box would, like, you hear, like, words on the obelisk and all that. I don't have no clue. I'm really on the fence about it.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. If you have a team of five or six just sitting around in a room just shooting the shit, just generally shooting the shit.
Yep.
Not trying to talk to, you know, "Hey, Bob, are you here? Can you see us? Can you talk to us?" We're just shooting the shit. Do you think you're more inclined to get EVPs in that scenario versus trying to directly talk to an energy that you think may be in the room?
Actually, in my experience, yes. Because I talk to my group, I try to be quiet as possible, you know, but conversations do happen. minutes, you know. But I hear when this conversation, you actually pick up more EVP during conversations. Just like regular you and me talking on the radio right now. How much things that can happen over the radio waves? You can hear it. I used to have my own radio show on Blog Talk, and I can't tell you how many EVPs I've had through my radio show. It's incredible. You know, it's a simple conversation because you bring out energy, and you talk to someone, and you have camaraderie, you have, you know, you have some relations with someone, and you're talking what you're interested in, and that's a burn. You're actually giving out energy, you're pushing out energy, positive energy. So guess what? If there's an entity in that home or a place of business or any London trip out there, they'll pick up on it. They'll sense it. They'll come toward it. And they'll try to communicate one way or another. Because you need to feed off of it to manifest that energy. So
if there's an entity present, walking into a room and going,
they'll come to it like a magnet.
Right. So you think versus walking into a room going, hey, is anybody here? Would you like to talk to us? You think it's much better if the team just walks in, sits down, and starts shooting the shit between themselves?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I try to stop conversation. I start a conversation with an entity if there is some supposed entity. I'll start a conversation with it. You know, not to say, I'm not saying simplistic, when did you die? Why are you here? You know, it's fine and dandy. That's cool. But you got to be quiet anyway. But the thing is, you try to talk to it. Try to be human with it. You know, these are people that are human, you know, one time or another. You know, you talk to someone friendly, they've got to be more friendly to you. You know, I'm not bashing Zach. He has his own methods. But, you know, I don't go in and start screaming on top of my lungs, you know. Yeah, I'm not like that. That's how I don't do it. That's not how I do it. Now, give it respect. Now, if someone's doing something malevolent, I'm going to be angry. If they're malevolent to me, I'm going to be angry, of course. But I don't want to feed that energy, because that's what it wants. It wants that negative energy. Give it positive energy.
Kevin.
It doesn't want nothing to do with you. You know,
how much does this sound like Matt and I talking on Wednesday night and how we prefer to do things?
Yeah.
I love the fucking thoughts this man has. Joseph, you and I are going to have to talk, brother. We've got to talk.
No, definitely. Most definitely.
Well, I'm going to, Joe, throw out any contact information if people want to hit you up or talk with you or whatnot, find out more about you before we go.
Oh, sure. Like I said, you can find me on Facebook, Joe Andrade, that's JoeAndrade. You can find me on my website at josephandrade.web.com, that's Joseph. andrade.web.com, and you can find me there. You can contact me on my email at joexomxomMaryBballIIgloo@gmail.com. And I have other emails also, and it's on my website. So you can contact me that way.
Sweet. Well, thanks, Joe, for coming on tonight. I get to talk to you again next month on my other show, on my Sunday show, so that'll be good. But thanks so much
awesome.
For coming on, man.
Oh, it's an honor, man. Thank you.
It was so great to talk to you. Thank you.
Definitely great to talk to you, Jody.
Yeah.
I've talked to you before on Facebook. For like the longest time.
Yeah,
so.
You know, talk to the Yotes of Salem for me. I think that would be really cool. And if, they need help, like seriously, that's what we are, that is our focus. And, you know, I'm more interested and focused on the places that need it.
Right. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few around here that need it.
Yeah.
So definitely.
One at a time, one at a time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Yeah, big time.
You have a
anytime, Judy, if you need any help or any advice or anything like that, give a shout out. I'm around.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jody, thanks for letting me be an asshole and intrude in your conversation. We'll not get told to shut the fuck up.
I
love you, darling.
I love you, too. All right.
Good night, everybody.
I'm going to play us out. And we're going to go out like this because some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
Nice.
Stop! do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.